You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 4th of September 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Yes, it's Friday once again, and I am aware we've got some issues with the website at the moment. Hopefully they will be fixed by the time you hear this podcast, because we have with us today the one and only Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Well, Sven, I'll be honest. I've given up. I've just given up. I've resigned myself. I've given up and resigned myself over the notion that we can actually ever reach peak absurdity. That's a term I'm using now. Peak absurdity, because every time I think, well, I think this is about the peak. I don't think things could get any more absurd. Lo and behold, the next day arrives and I'm once again proven wrong. So I've given up on the very notion. And I think today's story is a very good example of, peak absurdity.
The mainstream media just keeps going one better, doesn't it, with these news stories. It's a great one that we've got today. We've actually got this a black mayor who wants to relocate the Washington Monument. I'll just stop there and point out the Washington Monument is that giant Cleopatra's needle thing that everybody must have seen that's right there in Washington, D.C. Grandpa, is it actually from Egypt, that, or was that created by Americans, do you know?
No, that was built in America. But the very notion, we're just going to put it on a truck and move it somewhere. After all, it worked with the Confederate statues, so why not?
Yeah, why not do it with this giant obelisk that they've got there? Well, the mayor of Washington, D.C. has been slammed by the White House after a committee she founded to review the city's monuments and statues recommended the Washington Monument and the Jefferson Memorial be removed, relocated, or contextualized. Mayor Muriel Bowser formed DC Faces in July amidst a nationwide discussion about how America's history should be represented and who should be commemorated. She said their job was evaluating public spaces to ensure the namesake's legacy is consistent with DC values. On Monday, the 34 members of the working group delivered their report, which will now be reviewed and potentially implemented by the mayor. They found 9 statues and monuments that they listed for remove, relocate, or contextualize. And among them was the Washington Monument, the Jefferson Memorial, and a statue of Andrew Jackson. They're actually doing this same thing in Britain at the moment, in London. Our non-white mayor, Sadiq Khan, he has formed a committee together to look at road names, places, statues, monuments, and if they can find any tenuous link to slavery, then they want to remove, relocate, or contextualize. They just want to remove every part of history that they feel is not in line with the new people's thoughts and ideas that they have imported into our countries. I mean, you could, if you're being very generous, say to them, well, they would have a right to have something to say about what's happened in the last 70 years since we've had immigration into Britain. But before that, they've got no right to start talking about removing things or changing things. They weren't here. It's not their history. It's our history. It's not their history. I mean, I guess in America, you can say, well, blacks were there for longer, but blacks have only been citizens for, 150 years, something like that. I'm not sure when these monuments were built. Maybe it's a different thing in America, as I say, because you've had blacks and non-whites there for a lot longer than in Britain. But what are your thoughts on this, Grandpa?
I think this diversity thing is just working out smashingly. I'll be honest, when I first read that and saw that whole thing called DC Faces, I'm not going to lie. I read that first time. I thought it said DC Feces. Because as we spiral ever closer to the reality of the prophetic movie Idiocracy, it doesn't seem so out of bounds. And I love that they mention better reflect DC values. For those that don't know, Washington, DC is a shithole infested with a huge amount of black crime, because once you get out of the actual government buildings, I mean, nobody lives there. I mean, none of these politicians and staffers, they all live out like in Virginia or somewhere. They live in other places, because Washington, D.C., if it wasn't for the government buildings, is no different than, say, Memphis, Chicago, Detroit. It's just yet another failed city. But they have to talk about D.C. values. You know, we got to represent our values. Then they should replace these monuments with just like big statues of like somebody with their gang regalia on doing a drive-by. You know, it could be like an honorary thing, because that would better reflect Washington DC values. We go through these stories like this, and I just keep thinking, you know, how long do we have to pretend that this stuff is serious? I mean, you have people who are supposed to be in charge, and they're treating this ridiculous stuff such as this as though we have to act like this is serious. Like these are serious people bringing serious thoughts to consider to the table. And it's just absolutely ludicrous. I mean, a 5-year-old child could bring something, a more serious topic to the table for everybody to sit around and reflect on and discuss and treat as though it's a serious nature. But this is just so absurd. Again, peak absurdity. There is no concept anymore of a peak absurdity, because we all sit around here and you've got somebody talking about taking a multi, I don't know, how many tons this thing? Well, it would be impossible. We'd have to talk about moving them and relocate. You're not going to do this. It's literally impossible. Nobody wants to point it out because it is so absurd. And I guess it would be racist to be like, you know, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, today, I guess, because tomorrow I'm sure we'll bring something else. But yet we're all supposed to sit here, nod our heads. She didn't come up with this. This mayor didn't come up with this on their own. This was the work of a task force. So I guess they got their greatest, I don't know, brightest minds together. And this is what they came up with. But yet, as absurd as it is, we're all supposed to treat it as though this is like a serious topic to reflect and discuss.
Well, what's racist about an obelisk anyway? What does that have to do with slavery? It's an obelisk. I think there's one in London and one in the Vatican as well. It basically says this is an important center for finance more than anything else. I don't understand what this supposedly has to do with slavery. To asking about removing it, it's like when they talk about removing the statues in London, they want to replace them with something that reflects modern day Britain. And that's the language that they use. And what they mean is they want to replace the images of white people with the images of themselves, with images of the conquerors, basically. That's what conquerors do when they move in and they take over somewhere. They put up statues of themselves. And that's what they're really talking about here, is basically symbolism that we have been conquered by another group. And they want to see a reflection of themselves everywhere rather than seeing reflections of the previous group that settled the place. That's what it boils down to, basically. But I don't understand what is racist about an obelisk. Well, the committee said it took into account 5 factors when making a decision whether something should be renamed or taken down. Did the honoree participate in slavery? Was the honoree involved in systemic racism? Did the person support oppression? Was the person involved in a supremacist agenda? And did the honoree violate the city's human rights law? Well, how long has the city actually had a human rights law? How long have we had this idea of human rights? Did the honoree participate in slavery? Didn't the blacks participate in slavery? Didn't the Africans participate in it? Didn't all the slaves actually come from Africa? Weren't they sold by these African chiefs? Wasn't Africa the center of slavery? They try and say Britain was the center of the slave trade. Africa was the center of the slave trade. There was nobody that didn't actually take part in slavery. It was basically the form of employment that we had for thousands of years. It's only extremely recently that we've had this idea of handing over pay, and you go out and you provide for yourself. Originally, it was the boss that provided the roof over your head, the clothes that you wore, the food that you ate, and you worked on his farm. You worked on the Lord's land. understand that was just the basic system that we had. It's extremely recent that we've had this idea of employment, and you actually go out and you spend the money yourself. And in some ways, that's worse because it means people get into trouble. They get into debt. None of these slaves had debt, and they all had a pension. They all had healthcare. They were all looked after. And as I say, it was Africans that actually took part in this. So looking at these five factors that they have here, they're not going to find anybody that wasn't connected to this. This is basically just giving them an excuse to pull down everything that they decide that they don't like. What do you make of their five factors here, Grandpa?
Well, once again, and I guess I'm just a stickler for these things, but I refuse to cede ground to these communists, because this phrase they keep throwing around, systemic racism. They tried to hammer Trump with, you know, will you admit that this country has a history of systemic racism? And I think it's high time that Trump and everybody, when they get an opportunity, to stop that right there and force these people to define what the hell this even means, because I have no idea what it means. What, you know, you hear it. It's another one of those catchphrases like white supremacist. And there's another one they used right there, a supremacist agenda. You know, they whip out these phrases and they go over most people's heads, and most people don't even stop thinking. You know, they just kind of think they know what that means, but no, they don't. What do these things mean? What the hell does systemic racism actually mean? Does it mean the entire system of the United States is established in a way to pick on people for the color of their skin? I mean, is that literally what it means? Because if you define it that way, it comes across as utterly absurd. Now, if you wanted to say, for instance, the legal system is designed in such a way where if you don't have money, you're more likely to be found guilty, that's a legitimate argument, but it takes race out of the factor, because it means poor people are just as likely to be ground up by the system as anybody else. But this notion of systemic racism, and they keep throwing this phrase, this is their latest catchphrase they like to use right now. And nobody as of yet has been able to actually tell me, or have I seen anybody actually define what the hell this means. I want to know, and I think people need to be called out on this. What the hell does systemic racism even mean? Because if, like, just looking at the words being used here, the closest I could come would be the system's designed to pick on people for the hatred of the color of their skin, which, you know, is absurd. And I don't think that's what they mean. I just think it's basically another demonizing word that's supposed to basically mean white people bad, and something must be done about it. And finally, it's just another classic example that for the communists, history is always, today is day zero, and they always want to erase your history. History starts today. And you see this over and over and over again, and this is a reflection of it. Is this just, I don't know. So many people, we've seen these communists, we've seen the U.S. State Department pull these color revolutions all over the world, and yet so many people seem unable to grasp the concept, you know, accept the reality that what you're watching right now is a color revolution taking place here in our own country and in others, in places such as Britain and in Europe as well. But these are communist color revolutions. And the sooner people wrap their minds around that and accept that reality, the better off they're going to be.
Well, it's systemic anti-racism is what we see. It's system-wide. System-wide, we have diversity quotas. We have people asking for just non-whites to apply for jobs. We have people being censored for what they say. You're not allowed to criticize certain sectors of society. You're not allowed to use certain simple words in a language. You're not allowed to use the English language if these people think that somehow that it might be offensive. And these words change every few years or so just to try and catch people out. And this is system-wide. It is system-wide anti-white. And that's what we see. We don't see systemic racism. Before we had all this, everybody was equal under the law. And that was it. And you weren't expected to have equal outcomes. Of course, everybody had different outcomes because everybody has different talents. There was no general push to make sure that everybody had an equal outcome, because we understood that everybody was different and everybody was equal under the law. And what we have done now is make everybody unequal under the law. Some groups are more equal than others. some groups get to have their own ethnic homogenous housing estate. We've got in Britain now, we've got a specifically Jewish housing estate. Some groups get to have their own specific lawyers associations, their own specific caucus, and other groups aren't allowed to join together at all. We don't have freedom of association at all. We can't say, well, we only want to associate with white people, whereas blacks can say that. And all of this shows us that what we actually have is we are not equal under the law anymore. And this has all been brought in under this disguise of somehow fighting against this systemic racism, which is something that just doesn't exist. It's, in fact, it's the complete opposite. Well, let's have a look at what some of the response to this has been. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany immediately dismissed their ludicrous findings. By publishing a plan that recommends potentially removing the Washington Monument, Christopher Columbus statue, Andrew Jackson statue, and the Jefferson Memorial, amongst many other ludicrous recommendations, the radically liberal mayor of Washington, D.C., is repeating the same left-wing narrative used to incite dangerous riots, demolishing our history, and destroying our great heritage, she said. And this is what we see. We see even in Britain, they've got a website up with statues that ought to be taken down. And it's basically just giving a list of places to attack to the left wing. And that's the same thing that's happening here. It's just a list that the left wing will take as these are the targets that we need to go for. We have another comment here. Our nation's capital is rightly filled with countless markers, memorials, and statues to honor and respect the men and women who built this country. President Donald J. Trump believes these places should be preserved, not torn down, respected, not hated, and passed on for generations to come. How sensible. She said that Trump would ensure the mayor's irresponsible recommendations will go absolutely nowhere. She ought to be ashamed for even suggesting them for consideration, McEnany said. And I hope what she is saying is true here. I hope that this mayor really doesn't have a lot of power and will not be able to get these things through. It does seem that the mayor of London has an inordinate amount of power. He interferes in foreign relations, even as far as the EU is concerned, and he's basically just a mayor. I hope that this Washington DC mayor doesn't actually have the power to start pulling down these monuments. But what are your thoughts about the response to this, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, no, she doesn't. This mayor doesn't have any authority to do anything because all of those monuments and statues, those fall under federal purview. They're basically federal property. They don't have anything to do with the city. Of course, that doesn't mean that, you know, they can be defaced, destroyed, you know, attacked and damaged while the city stands by and does nothing. But as far as being able to officially take down one of these monuments or something, no, they don't have the authority to do that. That all falls under the federal government. But getting back to all of this utter absurdity and everybody keeps shaking their heads and it's a difficult thing, I guess, for a lot of people to take in that they look around the world today, people who haven't listened to those of us who've been warning them for years that this sort of thing was coming. Granted, it came faster than I think any of us really thought it would, but here we are. But people didn't pay attention to that and just went through their daily lives. And all of a sudden they wake up and they're in clown world and they don't know and they're confused. And you throw this pandemic hysteria on top of everything. And they don't understand what's going on. They're confused and you know, they don't know what to make of it. And, you know, they're going to have to play catch up real fast. I mean, the rest of us, at least, even though we're taken back by it, how quickly it's happened, we at least grasp the whys and the whatnots of it. These people are going to have to play catch up now and try to understand it because it goes beyond just political party or the next election or Donald Trump or whatever the hell excuses. This isn't going away, whether Trump wins or loses. None of this is going away. And people don't know, you know, like I say, they don't know what to do and they're confused about it. And the reality is that for white people in these countries, be it the US or Britain or Germany or anywhere else, I mean, the first thing they've got to get over is this programming they have that the worst thing in the world is to be called racist. I mean, because they're going to call you that. I've warned people for years that you're going to get called a Nazi. And now you see it. If you're flying a Trump flag, you get attacked and called a Nazi. And so, I mean, people are going to have to get over this, they're going to have to get over the fear of it, because the fear of it is what keeps them quiet. The fear of it is what keeps them in a constant defensive position. Well, I can't say anything because they'll call me these names. And, you know, you look at the struggles that our ancestors went through, the insurmountable obstacles and the brave battles they fought and these heroic deeds. And people look upon that and they say, oh, yeah, these were great men who did great things. But yeah, but it's up to you now to do the great things. And what are you doing? And the vast majority of people are sitting around scared to even speak up because they're afraid they'll get called names. I mean, people are going to have to get over that shit, and they're going to have to get over it real fast. Because this is stopping with the election. It's not stop. Donald Trump's not going to save you from it. He's not going to reverse. He's not going to stop it. We're not going to have the election in November and Trump wins and then everything is fixed and this all goes away. That's not realistic. And it starts with you. It starts with people being able to, you know, exert their own power, and their own power starts with taking away the power they've given over to their enemies by being afraid of being called names.
Well, I do think people are becoming inured to that, and I think this over-the-top behavior by the left is really helping. I think a lot of people are waking up. I think Donald Trump is going to win the election, and it's down to the behavior on the left and the behavior from the mainstream media. It is just becoming so apparent how much they really hate white people. I mean, we've been talking about this for years now, but basically just the average person on the street is now beginning to realize this. Continuing with the quotes here, not on my watch, never going to happen, tweeted David Bernhardt, Secretary of the Interior. Alyssa Farah, White House Communications Director, tweeted, I'm not even sure what relocating the Washington Monument would entail. And DC political hopeful Will Mascaro, in the running to be an advisory neighborhood commissioner, said he celebrated the idea of commemorating a wider variety of people, but was strongly against the removal of the existing 9 statues and memorials. Also, where does the working group recommend we relocate 81,000 tons of Washington Monument to exactly? He said. I can't believe my tax dollars have been spent commissioning this report. I mean, this is it, basically, isn't it? I mean, how can they not realize how impossible that would be looking at the size of it? I guess they're just talking about demolishing it. They probably think, oh, we'll just dynamite it. But as I say, why would you want to do that when it really doesn't symbolize anything other than an obelisk? It really symbolizes a continuity of civilization going right the way back to Egyptian times. That's what that is about, I think, more than celebrating Washington, because it's not an image of Washington. It's an image of an obelisk, which were all over Egypt. It was to do with the sun. I mean, possibly to do with a sundial. I mean, it's a giant sundial, basically, is what it is. But it's not really anything to do with slavery or anything like that. I think this is just a crazy idea. Again, it shows you that these people, they really don't think these things through. They just think, well, let's get rid of the Washington Monument. Well, how are you going to do that? I this is just black thinking all over. We'll do that, but we don't actually know how to do it. We'll take lots of money to have this big commission and this big committee to have this big brainstorming session. And that's what they come up with. We'll relocate 81,000 tons of concrete. And where are they going to put it? Exactly as he says here, where are they going to put it? I think these are some quite good comments here, actually, Grandpa. I'm quite impressed that there has actually been some pushback against this. They would probably be falling over themselves to do exactly what the report suggested if this was in Britain.
Well, if it represents the continuing of civilization, then what does the discussion about removing it say? Our civilization is coming to an end. Doesn't seem so far-fetched when you look at this sort of thing. Well, it should be mocked. I mean, you know, there's no way to treat this as a serious thing. And it shouldn't be treated as a serious thing as far as, like, it's a well-thought-out subject. I mean, it's stupid. And everybody needs to react to it that this is stupid. Because it is stupid. And you could sit here, but who gave them the money? I mean, they allocated this money to, you know, these people got paid. I'm sure this commission didn't work for free. To come up with this absurdness. And yet, you know, again, it shouldn't be treated seriously because it's not serious and it's time for everybody. You know, but how many people are afraid to point that out? They're afraid to point out how absurd it is because you could be getting called racist for it because you're saying these people are stupid for coming up with this notion. It's just time to quit treating these things serious. I mean, they're serious in the sense that our society is falling apart. But as far as coming up with an idea that you're going to relocate an 81,000 ton giant monument, it's absurd, and it needs to be treated for what it is, which is utterly absurd.
Well, in making their decisions, the committee was asked to evaluate 1,330 named places, schools, residential housing, streets, neighbourhoods, parks, recreation centres, libraries and monuments. Of those, 153 were named after persons of concern. Ah, so it's because it was named after Washington. That's the reason why it all has to be taken down and put somewhere else, because it was named after Washington. Well, some of the group's recommendations were widely expected. For example, Woodrow Wilson High School has been a prime candidate for a name change for years due to Wilson's open public support for segregation, along with everybody else that lived in America at the time. Black people were quite happy to have segregation. They'd never known anything different. White people were quite happy to have it. And to be quite honest, there was much less crime back then, weren't there? And also, blacks were far more likely to stay together in their families and far more likely to be working when they had segregation. Getting rid of segregation has not been a good thing if you look at the results of it. Well, the report doesn't go into detail about how recontextualizing would work, but there have been recent recommendations that plaques be added to the monuments to Jefferson and Washington, explaining that their namesakes were long-time slave owners. Well, so were a lot of people in America. A lot of blacks were long-time slave owners. As I say, it was just the basic system of employment that we had back then. Bowser, in a Tuesday tweet, said she looked forward to reviewing the recommendations from the task force, which she had tasked with evaluating public spaces to ensure the namesake's legacy is consistent with hashtag DC values. So this mayor is not even distancing herself from this. She obviously supports this and she's looking forward to reviewing these recommendations. But thankfully, as you pointed out, Grandpa, I don't think any of these are going to come through. What do you make of these recommendations they've been making about changing the names of things and recontextualizing them?
People of concern. These monuments are about people of concern. Concerned by who? You know, who gets to be the ultimate decider of what's concerning and what is not? Oh, they do. And who decided that? Who said, okay, let's put these people in charge of what we should be concerned about and which historical figures are a problem and which are not? I mean, who woke up and just decreed that one day? But once again, everybody sits silent because they're afraid that they'll get called names by pointing these things out. Now, the Woodrow Wilson thing, I had to kind of chuckle about that because I have a whole number of problems with Woodrow Wilson. With Woodrow Wilson, of course, not the ones that they're pointing out. I mean, if they wanted to say we need to get rid of anything recognizing Woodrow Wilson because of his work and, you know, handing the monetary system over to the private banks. I mean, you know, hey, I'm with that. You know, let's start pointing these things out. But no, that's not what it's about. It's because apparently he was for segregation. You know, that was the one thing he was well known for. I'm pretty sure some other big events took place during his presidency that, you know, might be worthy of historical, you know, a look at as far as a historical discussion. But no, it's this view on segregation that, you know, nobody's surprised about it. Honestly, I don't think anybody even cares about. I don't know. You look at these things and I have to always look at this. They talk about we got to rename these high schools. We got to rename this. We got to rename that. And I'm thinking, well, how many things can you rename Martin Luther King? You know, it's like, where do you go to school? Martin Luther King High School? Which one? All 20 of them. Because, I mean, that's always seems to be what it comes down to. We're going to rename. What are you going to rename it? Martin Luther King. Oh, okay. That's the one name, I guess. We just call the whole country the United States of Martin Luther King or something. It would be part of hashtag DC values. It's utter absurdity. Needs to be treated as for what it is, as stupid and absurd. Because even though on its face it looks ridiculous and it is ridiculous, it's once again an attempt at power grabbing. It's an attempt at exerting dominance over the population. As you said earlier, the conquered being, being shown that they're the conquered people, and now you're going to be replaced with the conquerors. But make no mistake, these people coming up with this ridiculous stuff here, They're not the real ones celebrating the victories. We know these movements are all being funded by these very wealthy people and these corporations and things such as this. So, you know, they're not going to, if this absurdity were to continue, and hopefully it will not, they're not going to be the big winners that they think they're going to be. It's time to confront it. It's time to quit being afraid of being called names, and it's time to speak out, at the very least, speak out and point these things out.
Well, Donald Trump has seized on the discussion as a culture war, insisting that the debate should not even be held. And as I say, all of this is doing wonders for Trump. I mean, it's just getting more and more support for him. As you point out, Grandpa, it's not going to help the blacks and the non-whites in any way to be destroying these monuments. All it does is help white people to regain their sense of identity and heritage, because this is our heritage that is being destroyed here. So it does work in our favor to see this going on, and it does tie in with the increase in numbers of non-whites, and basically they make it all about them. It all has to be about them. It all has to be about their memories of history, and the white people that are gradually going down into a minority, our history has to be thrown by the wayside. And more people are realizing this, and this is the physical effects of this happening, something that we've been warning about for decades now, that this is what was going to happen. Well, even as Trump introduces fines for toppling statues, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, ordered the removal of Confederate statues from within the Capitol. Does she have any power to actually get them removed? I hope not. At least 63 monuments or plaques in cities across the country have been removed since the protests began. And basically, they've just been torn down by thugs and savages that have just turned up with well-equipped with ropes and winches and have just lynched these statues. They're lynching the American heritage before America's very eyes at the moment, and something needs to be done about it, and it needs to come from the top. It needs to come from the president, basically. If you have right-wing militias that rise up and start trying to put a stop to this, we know what will happen to them. They'll be portrayed as white supremacists. They'll be portrayed as the bad guy. That is not the solution to this. It has to be done legally, and it has to come from the top. And I think it will do, because when Donald Trump does get elected again, the left are going to go absolutely wild, and he is going to have to bring in the National Guard to deal with it, I think. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on this?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just it's again, when they're you brought up that term lynching the statues, which I find to be very interesting, because the statues is not even necessarily about the statues. It's a representation. As I read a deal sometime back, and I read so much, I can't even remember where it was, but they were pointing out, you know, it's not even about the statues. It's a representation. It's a part of the path we're on right now to dehumanize you if you are a white person in this country. And that's what it is. First, they go after the statues, but they're not going to stop with that. This is about dehumanizing you so that when it comes to attacking and killing people, and we're starting to see that take place now, they don't, you know, oh, well, they're not even human, so it's okay. You know, and this, the statues, and you look at these things, these trajectories and how these things take place through history, and they tend to follow this similar path. I mean, you start with statues, but this is about dehumanizing the people they represent. When they tear down a statue that represents white people, and you know, they're not going to stop with that. You know, if things are allowed to continue on this trajectory, then it's about really eliminating people. And I don't want to sound alarmist or over the top here, but and I'm sure you've observed the same thing. You follow history the way, you know, as much as I do, Sven, and you see these things and how they've taken place in the past, and you know where they goes. I mean, you know, they start with statues, but they never stop with that and go, okay, we're done now. I mean, we know that's not how these things work. This is about dehumanizing the people so that when it comes times for the purges, when it comes times for the real lynching, when it comes time to start actually eliminating people, marching them to the ditch, you know, people can do that. The perpetrators of that can do that, because they don't see those that they're doing it to as fellow human beings. It is a very serious thing to think about and consider, even in the face of a story like this that on its face is just utterly absurd. One would do well to bear that in mind.
They start with the statues and they finish with the real people. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.